This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome, welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope you're having a great weekend. This is our weekend edition of Live the Promise, and we've got a fabulous guest lined up for you. In just a moment, we'll bring on Pastor Mark Batterson. He's written the best-selling book, The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears. You're in for a real treat. But Tim, first, you know, we're in the midst of summer. We've been talking about these summer Sabbath moments every Thursday, leveraging the season to get some Sabbath rest. Even if you work full time and you don't have the privilege of taking 3 months off, which most of us don't, but to leverage the moments, because this is a season for kind of unhitching a little bit and resting. What have you done this season to just find some Sabbath moments to rest amidst your very busy day job?
Well, one of the things I did was we were just up north a couple of weeks ago and got a chance to get out and just sit by the lake and just enjoy God's creation. And I was sitting there praying. Nobody was up yet. The lake was just like glass. It was beautiful. And that really refreshes me.
Well, I sound like a broken record, but my Sabbath moments are on my bike, on the trails, on my deck with my Bible and journal, praying. Those are some of my sweetest spots. But we'd love to hear from you now. We've been doing these every Thursday, just taking a few minutes highlighting the importance of leveraging the season. What are you doing right now to leverage this season to find moments of rest? Do you get out? Do you have a boat? Do you get out and just in the backyard, run to the sprinkler? We want to know, and we're going to share some of your testimonies. So would you email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. Mark Batterson's written a book, The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears. He just speaks my language. And Tim, you and I have talked about this before, but I've been a tenacious prayer for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And people will criticize at times because they think maybe they take you the wrong way. But I remember when my hubby was in a job that was absolutely wearing him out and sucking the life out of him. He wasn't available for us as a family, wasn't really available to volunteer at church. And then he ended up with cancer when he was working there, and I really attributed some of that to the stress he was under. And I said, Lord, you said when we pray your will, we can know that you hear us and know what we'll have, what we ask for. I know it's your will that he not work in a job that's sucking the life out of him. So I'm believing you with my whole heart and soul that you've got a promised place that will celebrate his gifts, that will free him up to be a family man that you've meant him to be, but also engage at church. And he said, my hubby told me, the only place I want to work that fits my gifts, and, he manages these large-scale construction projects, is this particular company. But he says, nobody ever leaves there because it's such a good company. And I know I'm going to regret admitting this, but I said, watch my dust. And I went to the mat. And I am telling you what, I prayed my guts out morning, noon, and night. I really went after it in prayer. And I want to say a couple months later, maybe he came home and he had this sort of pale look and he said, are you still praying that prayer? And I go, did they call? And he said, yeah, not only did they call, they invited me to lunch and they gave me a signing bonus. So I'm like,
wow.
Anyway, but there is something to be said about getting hold of a promise of God from Scripture, mm-hmm. and getting the bulldog faith to hang on and not let go and say, Lord, I know your promises are true. I know it takes time for a breakthrough, but I'm not letting go.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. God never goes back on his promises.
Yeah.
Never.
He's a man of his word.
He's told us so much about what his will for us is in the Scripture.
That's right. So that's what we're talking about today. I can't wait to get our guest on, Mark Batterson. He's a favorite of a lot. I know a lot of people tweet about him and quote him, and we're just blessed to have him with us. Let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Mark Batterson serves as lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. One church with 7 locations, and he says the vision of NCC is to meet in movie theaters at Metro stops throughout the D.C. area. NCC also owns and operates Ebenezer's Coffee House on Capitol Hill. I love that. Mark holds 2 master's degrees from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago and is the author of the best-selling books In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, great book, I've read that, Wild Goose Chase, Primal, A Quest for the Lost Soul of Christianity, and Soul Print. He's married and has 3 children and resides on Capitol Hill in the Capitol Hill District. Mark, welcome to the show. So glad to have you with us today.
Oh, Susie, it's so great to be with you. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a Minnesota native, born in Minneapolis.
So
it's a special treat.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We pump out some pretty good people.
Yeah, I don't know if I still have any accent left over because we moved when I was six, but I have some family there in the area, and so it's just great to be on with you today.
Oh, well, we're so thrilled to have you. And we start out the show talking scripture, and you chose a wonderful verse, Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. I want you to just talk about why you chose that verse.
Yeah, well, you know what I love is what it doesn't say. You know, it doesn't say, Lord, teach us to lead. It doesn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. It doesn't even say, Lord, teach us to disciple. I think sometimes we assume because we read it in Scripture, but, you know, sometimes it's helpful thinking about what the disciples didn't ask. Now, I'm not saying that any of those things aren't important. I think they are, but here's what I believe. I believe that if you change the way that you pray, you change everything. Mm. You change the way that you lead. You change the way that you parent. You change the way that you converse. I mean, it turns appointments into divine appointments. And so I think I chose that verse, Susie, because that's my heart right now. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. And so, you know, I would encourage listeners, you know, I often ask the question, you know, does anybody feel like you prayed too much last year? Mm-hmm. Well, I've never had anybody say that they feel like they pray too much. I think all of us feel like we fall short, but I think it's this attitude of the heart that just says, Lord, teach me to pray. And I think if we have that attitude, then I genuinely believe that we're one prayer away from a totally different life. And so I hope that's a word of encouragement to those who are listening.
I believe it is. And I don't remember which prayer great said this, but I think it was Ian Bounds. But the quote is, prayer can do anything God can do. And when you think about that, why wouldn't we pray more?
Hmm. Oh, that's so good. I think... you know, I don't know that I've said anything that some of those classic writers, you know, E.M. Bounds and Leonard Ravenhill and so many others that have written such great books on prayer. But the way I like to think about it is prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. And there's a big difference between those two things.
Oh, good point. Well, I want to know, we're going to get some backstory from you in a minute, but I want to know when you first felt the nudge to write this book.
Yeah, well, here's the backstory. About 3 years ago, I'm reading through the Talmud, which is the Jewish commentary on the Old Testament, and I come across this true legend of Honi the Circle Maker, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And I actually used that story as an illustration in a sermon 3 years ago. And I realized that was not just an illustration. That was a book waiting to be written. And so that began the process for me of writing the book. And, you know, all books are hard to write. And, you know, I know you're an author as well, but I think a book on prayer is especially hard to write. And so it was with some fear and trepidation that I stepped into it. But I just felt like it was one of those books that I was destined to write. And I feel like the Lord helped me, and boy, His hand is on it in a special way, because people aren't just reading it. They're hitting their knees and praying as a result of reading it, and so that's pretty encouraging.
Well, that is my prayer after today's show, that our friends would be listening, and they would rise up, and then they would bow down, and they would start to draw circles around the things that are on their hearts. And so explain the whole idea of Honi the Circle Maker and where the title even comes from.
Sure. In the first century B.C., there was a drought in Israel, and it threatened to destroy an entire generation. In fact, it was the generation before Jesus. And there was one man who was famous for praying for rain. And now Josephus actually references him as well and calls him Onias the Rainmaker. But the Talmud, it's the same person, calls him Honi the Circle Maker. And here's how he got his name. When the people asked him to pray, he took his staff and he drew a circle in the sand. And then he knelt in that circle and he prayed this prayer. Sovereign Lord, I swear before your great name that I will not leave this circle until you have mercy upon your children. And the amazing thing is a raindrop fell, and it started to rain, and the people are rejoicing, but Honi's still in the circle, And he says, not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain that will fill pits and caverns and cisterns. And it was like the heavens opened. According to the historical records, the raindrops were so big that they would have been the size of a fist. And it was actually flash floods. People had to go up to the Temple Mount. And so Honi's still in his circle praying, and he says, not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. Mm-hmm. And it starts to rain in perfect moderation. And here's what happened. The Sanhedrin threatened to excommunicate him because they felt like it was a little too bold, but you can't argue with a miracle. And so ultimately he was honored for the prayer that saved a generation.
Wow.
And so, drawing from that story, it's just really a book about the power of a single prayer. I don't know, Susie, I sometimes feel like a simpleton. I just believe God keeps his promises. I believe his word is true. I believe that he's still seated on the throne, and I believe he's a God who answers our prayers. Now, they've got to be in the will of God and for the glory of God. But when we pray that way, wow,
amen.
All bets are off.
Oh, I love it. And I was going to ask you to make the distinction between name it and claim it and what you're talking about, and you just did, that it's when it's for the will of God and for the glory of God. Love that.
Yeah.
Well, you wrote this very important statement from the book. It's absolutely imperative at the outset that you come to terms with this simple yet life-changing truth. God is for you. If you don't believe that, you'll pray small, timid prayers. That really is at the heart of every powerful prayer, isn't it?
Oh, I think it is. You know, I think it's this understanding that God is good, that he loves us more than we can imagine. And, you know, it helps me being a parent of three kids, you know, because I want to move heaven and earth for those kids. No, I'm not going to do it in a way that would spoil them. And certainly they've got to have that please on the front end and the thank you on the back end. But you know what? When my kids are walking in obedience, then I want to show them that they have a good dad, and there is a heavenly father who, you know, the Bible says that if you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you know, how much more is the heavenly father wanting to bless us? And I love the promise in Psalm 84, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly before him.
Mm.
And for the record, I think the way you walk uprightly is you get on your knees and you walk in humility and in prayer. And when you do that, then I think God loves to bless us and show us favor, again, for his purposes, not for ours. But that's the God that we pray to.
And don't you think that whole process of prayer puts you right, too? I mean, there's so many things I've gone to God for. And in the process of praying through, of learning persistence, of hanging onto his word, he's changed me, made crooked ways straight, confronted motives and different things. But all the reason in the world to pray, it moves the hand of God, but it moves us, too, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. You know, it's not about us bringing our agenda to God. You know, some people have a tough time praying because they, like, I got to figure out what I want. No, you need to start praying and seek the Lord, and then you discover God's agenda for you, and then you start praying the will of God. It reminds me of John 15, where it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask for whatever you wish and it will be done. Now, we love the whatever you wish part, but the key is, if you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, then guess what? You're not going to want anything that's contrary to the will of God. And so the key really is that relationship and that relationship that grows closer and closer, because then that's how you hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And then that's when prayer becomes more than just a monologue. It really becomes the dialogue that God meant it to be in the beginning.
Good. I'm talking to Mark Batterson today about his new book, The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears. 877-933-2484. Maybe you've got a question for Mark today. 1-877-933-2484. And otherwise, you can email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Oh, Mark, in the beginning of the book, you tell this story of a time that you drew your first prayer circle, and it was sort of around Washington, D.C. It was a big circle. Love that story. Will you share that?
Yeah, it was a 4.7-mile circle.
See, now that's
that's quite a walk. I got my exercise while praying. It was, you know, it would have been when we were a church of about 20 people, Susie, and I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I just started pastoring, and I felt like the Lord prompted me to just stake claim to this wonderful verse in Joshua 1:3, where the Lord says to Joshua, I will give you everywhere you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. And so I just felt like the Lord said, I want you to pray a perimeter around the place I've called you. And I don't know. I figured, what could it hurt? And so I set out to pray all the way around Capitol Hill. And now, 15 years later, this is the amazing part. We own 4 pieces of property. I never thought we'd even own property. I mean, it goes for about $14 million an acre here, right on Capitol Hill. And so I didn't think we'd ever own anything. And next thing you know, we have a coffee house on Capitol Hill that number one coffee house in the Metro DC area, serve about 600 customers a day. And then we just bought an old movie theater on Main Street, Capitol Hill, that we're renovating, and it's our 7th location. And then another piece of property that's an $8 million piece that we own debt-free. And all of those properties, Susie, right on that prayer route. I mean, right on it. I walked under the marquee of that theater 15 years ago, walked by the crack house that we bought and turned into the coffee house, and that abandoned piece of property I walked by 15 years ago, having no idea. But that's the beautiful thing about prayer. You know, when you pray, the funny thing is we forget, but God doesn't. And he has a way of answering those prayers. Now, we got to be patient, because it usually doesn't happen overnight. In fact, we want to plant in the morning and then harvest in the afternoon, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but it just doesn't work that way. But if you pray and you keep praying and keep circling, then God has a way of rewarding those prayers in some pretty incredible ways.
It's so true. You made yourself available, and then you saw the fruit of it. I mean, there's times as a women's conference speaker, I've just tenaciously been praying for years, because I received 2 different emails or hardcover copies. I don't remember what they were, years ago. One woman had, you know, was delivered on the spot from depression in one of the sessions, and I wasn't even talking about that. Another woman was healed of a sinus infection, and I was actually talking about prayer. But it just sparked something in me, and I thought, I want more of that, Lord. I want women right where they sit to be delivered on the spot, just because they encountered you. And I've been going after that very, very specifically. And would you believe, just they're trickling in over the years, but more and more with more frequency, I'm hearing testimony after testimony with almost the same verbiage. It was on the spot. It was right where I sat. And it just makes me hungry for more of what God wants to deliver to his people. Don't you feel that way?
Oh, I do. I love it. And I even love the description of you praying for your husband for that job opportunity. And, you know, because I think there are times when you can just pray for something. You know, let's keep it real. I kind of believe in short prayers before meals, because I like eating food while it's hot, you know. It's not like every prayer needs to be this long intercession, but aren't there moments where you need to hold on to the horns of the altar, and you need to pray through for your kids? You need to pray through for a situation, or you even need to be an Aaron and Hur, kind of like they held up Moses' arms. Like, there are going to be moments where you need to intercede for a family member or a friend, because they don't even have the faith to pray themselves. And I think those are the times that you've got to get on your knees and get on your face. And here's the big thing for me. The Lord convicted me, Susie, that I felt like most of my prayers were ASAP prayers, as soon as possible. You know, I want God to do it yesterday. And man, I started praying ALAT prayers, as long as it takes. You know, as long as it takes, Lord, I'm going to get in this prayer circle. And almost like Honey, you said, I'm not leaving this circle. I think there are times where we need the tenacity to just hang in there, keep circling, keep believing. And if you keep doing that, then I believe that God is faithful. God is faithful to his promises.
You know, Francis Frangipane says, we don't pray because we have a problem. We pray because we have a promise from God. And I have to tell you, when I found certain promises for Kev's, my husband's sake, the more I prayed, the more strengthened in my faith I felt and sensed, even though my eyes saw nothing. But don't you feel when you get that promise from God and you pray through, the answer always seems so much bigger than you even intended it to be? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe it's because he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can imagine, right?
Good point.
but I think you just touched on something that's so critical, because so many people that I meet, they say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Well, my simple advice is start with the Bible. Listen, the Bible wasn't meant to be read. In fact, if you're just reading the Bible, I would suggest that you're misreading the Bible. I think it was meant to be prayed. And so what you do is you open the Bible, you know, try Romans 8, for example, you know, and start reading. But then eventually you're going to come to a verse where you got to stop reading and you need to start praying. And there's something powerful about praying the word of God, because Isaiah 55 says his word does not return void. And so I think it's so critical that we don't just, you know, pull prayers out of nowhere. You know, I think sometimes the most powerful prayers are just those promises of God that we find in the pages of Scripture.
So good. Well, you actually draw circles around your kids in some very creative ways, and we'd love for you to share about that. We've got about 4.5 minutes to break. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, if it's one thing praying around pieces of property and praise God for the miracles he's done, but, you know, there is nothing as important to me as my children. And so I found that over the years, it's important to really circle them in prayer. Now, sometimes that might be a physical thing where I might lay hands on my kids, or, you know, sometimes you sneak into your kids' rooms when they're sleeping and you pray for them, or maybe sneak into their room when they're not home and pray for them. But probably, you know, the most powerful prayer circle that I prayed around my kids was many years ago. I was reading Luke 2:52. And it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And I read that and I thought, what a wonderful description, kind of a synopsis or a time lapse of Jesus' adolescence in a sense. And so I thought, what if I turn that into a prayer or into a blessing? And so thousands of times I've prayed for my three kids, for Parker, Summer, and Josiah. I prayed, may you grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Well, I prayed that so many times that I was cute. My youngest, Josiah, who's 10, came home the other day from school and said, hey, Dad, we were talking about that verse that you pray for me all the time. And listen, I about lost it, Susie, because when your kids know that there is a promise, that there is a blessing that's a part of their legacy, a part of their heritage, it's a powerful thing. And so word of encouragement to parents, don't feel like you – listen, you will never be a perfect parent, but you can be a praying parent.
Absolutely. My boys are grown. They're all in their 20s now, but I would put my hand on their heads and pray those blessings over them, and scriptural blessings, but I also throw in their thank you that they'll always love their mama. Thank you. And one thing I said over my boys, thank you. I don't know why. I just felt so inspired. Lord, thank you that they love to read spiritual classics. None of them liked to read back then, but my oldest reads classics. He can't get enough of them. And as a 20-something, I love it. I just thought it matters to me that they're reading some of the greats who've gone before us. And so you know, but anyway, God is good. We've got Mike calling from Woodbury. I'm going to take his question, Tim, and then we're going to have Mark answer on the other side of the break. Mike, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. How you doing? It was more or less like having faith. Like, we have a group home business, and sometimes the money doesn't come in when I feel it should, but I give it to God, and every time I need something to happen, it does. And it's a lot of faith that I didn't have, you know, in the last 2 years or so. And I just feel like God, like, giving prayer, having more faith, and like you said, on my knees, and how my wife took a class at church, and it was one of your books, Sue, the Uncommon Woman, and I saw changes in her, how in prayer and that, and it's just wonderful how, you know, prayer and faith, does go hand in hand, I think.
Yep, and it works. Mike, thanks for that call. We actually have about a minute and a half, Mark, if you want to comment to Mike. Bless you, Mike, for your call.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I think your experience is one that's pretty common in terms of, you know, you get to a place where you need God's provision, and that's often when we turn to prayer. And in my experience, I've found that the Lord tends to provide just enough just in time. And sometimes it makes us a little bit nervous. In fact, I would even say that sometimes we think God's 4 days too late.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Mary and Martha certainly would have thought when their brother Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. So, you know, sometimes we feel like God is late, but, you know, sometimes I think the Lord is cultivating character within us. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get those answers to prayer because then we don't take them for granted when they happen. And so I've just learned to trust God's timing. And I might suggest, I just love the fact that you're praying for your business. And one of the joys of this book has been the fact that, you know, teachers are circling their classroom in prayer, Susie. And I've got doctors who are saying, man, our rounds are no longer just to visit patients, but we're doing prayer rounds and circling our patients in prayer. And I think with a business, listen, I believe God wants to anoint you. God wants to help you. He wants to favor you. Now, you've got to honor him, I believe, with that business. But if you do that, then I think prayer is probably one of the best business tactics that you can ever employ.
Amen and amen. Talking to Mark Batterson about his book, The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears. You're sure quiet today. I want to hear from you. What do you think? Get a question or comment? We'd love to hear it. 877-933-2484. 1-877-933-2484. More with Mark in just a moment.
Let us pray.
Having a great conversation today with Pastor Mark Batterson. He's written a phenomenal book, The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears. I honestly don't want the book to end too soon, so my hubby and I are reading it like two paragraphs at a time. I love it so much. Now the calls are coming in. All I have to do is say, you're quiet today, and the screen lights up. I love that. Okay, so we've got a question. Somebody called in and asked, when you do a prayer walk, how does it work? What do you pray as you're walking? What advice do you have there?
Well, you know, sometimes I just walk and pray and pace kind of back and forth in my office. And the reason's simple. When I walk and pray, I'm less distracted. I don't know what it is, but, you know, part of it is just the way that I'm wired. Now, sometimes I'll hit my knees and that posture will be more helpful. And then occasionally, I'll walk a specific territory, if you will. You know, I think you can pray around your house if you want to. You can pray around your neighborhood. We have 7 locations as a church, and we just created a prayer circle about a mile radius in our urban environment here in Washington, D.C., where we have literally a map of every city street within a 1 mile radius, and we're going to pray and walk every single one of those streets and pray for the people on them and believe for divine appointments. And so lots of different ways to do it. Again, I think it's about just finding really what works for you and what helps you pray more effectively.
Yeah, I love that. Sometimes I walk my pit bull and I'm walking really fast and praying hard. There's something about putting the ground under my feet where it's almost a visual for me. I'm taking ground as I pray. I love that. 877-933-2484. We've got a question from Leslie calling from North Dakota. Great question. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi. My question is, what would be a simple, effective way to explain the purpose and the power of prayer to either a non-believer and or a new believer?
Good question, Leslie. Go ahead, Mark.
Wow. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, do we believe there is a God? And do we believe that God with 4 words said, let there be light? And with those 4 words, created the universe. I mean, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So a minute later, those words had traveled 11 million miles, leaving a wake of creation, stars, planets, galaxies. Who are we praying to? Do we believe that we're praying to the God who keeps the planets in orbit? Well, if we believe that, then do we think he can possibly order our footsteps? You know, if he can keep the planets in orbit, Can he solve our problems? I think sometimes we pray almost like God is just a little bigger or a little better than we are, but we're talking about someone who is in a completely different category. And so it's hard to know where to start. I mean, that's such a wonderful question. But I think part of it is discerning where that other person is at in their spiritual journey, because there are lots of different places to begin. But here's the funny thing. We've had a neighbor that's been an atheist, but here's what's interesting. There have been a few times where he's actually asked us to pray for him, because I don't know anybody who doesn't want to be prayed for when they really have a need that is beyond their control or beyond their ability to solve. And so I think you just simply pray for people, and then as you have opportunity, you know, you have that conversation, and you begin to introduce them to the Creator, to the Savior, to the one that you pray to.
Good word. Good word. Thanks, Leslie. We've got Tim calling from Madison. He's got a quick story of God sustaining his business through prayer. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey. Yeah, about 3 years ago, I lost pretty much everything. Had a house fire. Mm-hmm. I was in an accident with my work truck, almost died. And with the economy, didn't have much left. I was selling everything I had to keep afloat. And about 2 years ago, I just finally broke down and got down on my knees at the end of the bed at night. And it's been amazing. Ever since, I've had more work than I could do and been able to pay back bills and debts. And there's a lot of power in prayer.
Hmm. Tim, thanks for the call. Mark, do you want to comment on Tim's story at all?
Yeah, Tim, that, you know, to come to that moment where you hit your knees is a powerful thing. And the first thing I think of, Susie, is the story of Bill Grove in The Circle Maker. And just one little piece. I remember when he told me this story about circling a golf course, which he now manages. But there was a moment when he lost his job. And he said he went in to take a shower one afternoon, and he felt like he had a 500-pound weight on his shoulders. And then he hit his knees, and he walked out of that shower feeling like he could lift 500 pounds. I mean, what a description of prayer, because it takes the burden that's on our shoulders, and we cast our cares upon God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it empowers us to live with that holy confidence, knowing that it is in God's hands. And so, man, we just rejoice with you, Tim. Praise
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. And the fact that God would want to engage with us this way, that he would want to be linked in fellowship with us this way, and that he rewards us when we earnestly seek after him, is just mind-boggling. You know, that he would invite us to this faith journey. Isn't it just boggle your mind?
It is, Susie. And, you know, some people say, well, man, I don't know. You have such an emphasis on prayer. Like, are you saying, because I think the greatest tragedy in life are the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. And, you know, and all people say to me, but are you saying that then God can't do it if we don't pray for it? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he won't. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You know, that's what the book says. And I think there are some things that if we don't, well, maybe I should put it this way. God won't answer 100% of the prayers you don't pray.
Amen.
And somehow in his sovereignty, he has invited us into the equation via prayer. And he said, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Where two or three agree together in prayer. Powerful things happen when two people begin to pray together.
Amen. Augustine once wrote, without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. That's what you're saying. 877-933-2484. We've got Carl calling from Sioux Falls. We've got people calling from all over the network. So glad to see that. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Let's hear your comment.
Well, I really wanted to just express, I guess, initially how great it is for the program. It enlightens and brightens my afternoons every afternoon, and I just thank you guys for the programming.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment, years ago when I moved into this area in 1993, we did a Jericho march around the house that we wanted to buy. And when you were speaking earlier today, it brought that to mind. But I think that the circle and praying within a circle, it reflects a sense of unity. And so, you know, just as a wedding ring reflects unity, so whenever a circle is embraced, it reflects unity. And when you do that within your community, I believe that it helps to capture the power of the community, and it brings things to a unified message. And for a believer, it's being unified in Christ. But I just wanted to just share that, and I hope that it is a blessing to someone that might be listening today.
Great insight, Carl. Thank you so much. Mark, you want to comment on Carl's insight?
Yeah, Carl, what a great flashback to that answered prayer, that Jericho march. And of course, Jericho is one of the chapters in the Circle Maker that I talk about, just the power of circling things in prayer. But I think that whole point about unity, Susie, is huge. One of the fun things about this idea of prayer circles is that it is a double entendre, because, you know, in most church circles, when you kind of gather together and pray together, you know, a lot of churches refer to it as a prayer circle, because you're kind of in a circular form. You might even grab hands with people, and there is something powerful when you unite your faith together and you, in agreement, pray for something. There's just something powerful that happens in that. And so, man, what an encouragement just to hear that from Carl.
And I'm sure you're getting all kinds of testimonies from people based on this book. We have like 20 minutes left, and that's just not enough time for me. I have all these things I want to talk to you about. But I want to make sure we cover your 3 points that you cover in the book, because they're all so important. Dream big, pray hard, and think long. And these are extremely important, I think, with effectual prayer. So let's start with the first one. Talk about what it means to dream big.
Yeah. Well, I found that the more I pray, the more I dream. And the more I dream, the more I have to pray. And so I think God wants to give us a dream. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be to plant a church in Washington, D.C., or you know, even start a business or do something that, you know, maybe our culture would recognize as being big. Listen, I think the biggest thing you can do is love your children and parent them in a way that they grow up to love God. And so big is kind of a relative term, but the idea is pretty simple, that without a vision, people perish. And it's in the context of prayer, Susie, that I found that's where God really begins to speak to me and give me a dream. And the more time I spend in God's presence, you know, the bigger that dream becomes. And so I think the first part of the book is making sure that we're a dreaming people. I think that's what happens when the Holy Spirit fills us, that we start to dream dreams and start to have visions.
You know, another scripture is, without a vision, people cast off all restraint. And as a former athlete, I liked that verse, because if you're an Olympian and you have a vision for your life, you're going to say no to other things so you can say yes to the best thing. And I think it's the same with the vision for our lives. If God's calling you to write a book, you do have to say no to other things to walk out that dream. And so important to be getting a vision from God. Love that.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got Kathy calling from North Dakota, and she wants to share a quick testimony. We're going to work our way through this list. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. As always, you guys just totally rock off the wall. It's off the earth. It's great to hear this. I just returned with my fiancé from Nashville to make a recording, which was a dream he'd always wanted. And as we went down there, I just thought, Jesus, this isn't about this. I ask you to help us to be a blessing to others and others to be a blessing to us. And you cannot believe the things that happened as we went along. It was just phenomenal. God just moved in ways that were so amazing. We met people and connections with things that we would have never, ever expected. We walked into a church, and within seconds, literally, the man prophesied to my fiancé, and I had not gone in right away. And when I came in, I sensed the presence of the Lord immediately, and I went to sit next to him, and he goes, "Is this your girlfriend?" And I just about fell over. And he said, and what he prophesied to me was just right on the mark all the way through. And as I've listened to that tape over and over, I thought, Jesus, thank you. We really needed to hear this, but God is opening up a brand new door. And on the way down, he said, I'm going to do a new thing. And so I so agree with the prayer. Prayer, people underestimate it. It is the most powerful equipment we can have by the blood of Jesus and his word to pray it. And so I just commend what you're saying. And I kind of wish I could hug you. Thank you so much.
Kathy,
thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Wow. Makes you smile, doesn't it?
it does. And the first thing I think of is this, that, listen, if you meet with God, God's going to make sure you meet who you need to meet. I think we worry about networking and opportunities. And listen, I would say don't seek opportunities, seek God.
Amen.
And opportunities will seek you. You know, it's seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. And it's amazing. Susie, I just, you know, when we pray, prayer is the difference between you fighting for God and God fighting for you. And it's incredible when you get on your knees and like when I begin my day, and sometimes I'll just pray through my calendar. It's unbelievable. God turns appointments into divine appointments. And all I know is this. When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. And I happen to believe that those coincidences are providences.
Amen. That is how I've always run since I was a writer and speaker. People would tell me I was naive not to get out and promote myself. And I didn't see it in Scripture. And so I thought, you know, he knows where I live. I'm going to, you know, sharpen my sword. I'm going to learn the word. I'm going to wait on God, and he'll establish me. And that has been how I've walked it out. And I'm 100% convinced he knows where we live. He can do that, right? Love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Anyway, so we're talking about dream big. Before we get to the second point, I want to make sure people aren't hearing dream big with vagueness, because you talk about in the book that vague prayers really are not the way to go. We want to have some specificity to what we're talking about. So talk about the importance of being specific in prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you pray vague prayers, then you don't know if God answered them or not.
Right.
And I think sometimes they're a cop-out. And so we need to pray with enough specificity so that when God answers that prayer, then we can be very careful to give him the glory for what he's done. Now, one thing that's really helped me is a prayer journal. It's incredible. When I go back through my prayer journals, how many times I will have forgotten that I prayed for something, but it helps me kind of connect the dots between the prayer and the answer in a way that then I can give God the glory for it. And so I think that's a key part of the book. It's this idea of we need to define our Jericho, if you will. And I don't have to expound on that. You know, I expound on it in the book, but this idea of, you know, what is it that you're believing God for? And if you don't know what that is, then you aren't ready for the answer yet. And so we need the faith to really spell out those dreams and prayers and hopes that God has put in our heart.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so the next point then is pray hard. And this was so good. You talked about the importance of praying through. And I think this point and the next one are where many people get lost in prayer. So talk about the importance of praying through, praying hard.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for people to read the story about Mother Dabney. You know, before there was Mother Teresa, there was Mother Dabney. She was famous for kind of coining this phrase, praying through. And the idea is pretty simple, that, you know, it's not just praying for something and then forgetting about it and praying one time, but praying through is this idea that you're going to keep circling in prayer. Let me give you a good example. I have met so many parents with children who, you know, you could maybe call them prodigals, that they've walked away from their faith, they've walked away from the Lord, and those parents just continue to pray and intercede. I've met parents that have prayed for 20, 30 years, Susie, but they keep praying through and just trusting and believing that God's going to bring their child back to faith. And you know, listen, the child has free will, and so you can't control that. But what's your other option? Not praying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so praying through just says, you know what? I have no other option. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. And it's praying with a little more intensity and a little bit more consistency than just these kind of one-off prayers, if you will, that are quickly and easily forgotten.
And even more intentionally than your flesh wants to, because we can get bored so fast. And in a second, we're going to talk about the long and boring side of prayer, which I would love that you covered it. I thought that was so important. But first, I want you to talk about one of my favorite chapters, You Can't Never Always Sometimes Tell. Love that. I want a book under that title. It's so good. But you tell a story in that chapter about a miracle that you almost missed. So here you're a praying man. You're positioning yourself before the Lord. But I loved you that you included this because you talk about, I almost missed a miracle in this situation. Tell us that story. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't. I love it when this happens. No, that one when the people wanted to meet with you about church government. And you're like, of all the things I don't want to talk about right now, I'm writing a book.
Yep.
And, yeah, that one.
Yeah. Well, they set up an appointment, wanted to talk about church government. I thought, oh, this does not sound like fun. And I had a book deadline. I almost didn't take the meeting. And let's just say that I'm glad I did, because a few weeks later, I discovered why they wanted to kind of check under the hood and kick the tires, as they literally said, we want to give National Community Church $3 million. Now, Susie, I'm a preacher, and I was speechless. We weren't in a capital campaign. You know, we're a church with single 20-somethings, and, you know, they're giving generously off of their barista income or any inner-city school income, but we had never experienced anything like that. And I'll never forget what they said. They said, you have vision beyond your resources. And it was just such an affirmation that let's not live down to the level of our ability or our resources. Let's believe that God has something bigger and better for us. Now the backstory is that we had been praying for a $2 million miracle. I felt like God put that in my heart. And you know, I hope people read the book, because I want them to hear my heart too. And you've got to know the whole context. I'm not a guy that runs around asking for this or that or the other thing. But God had put it in my heart. We had just built this coffee house, and I felt like God said, I'm going to do a $2 million miracle. And so for years, we prayed for it. Now, here's the funny thing. When it turned out to be $3 million, I remember I was a little bit confused. I was like, Lord, we were praying for two. And, man, Susie, it was like the Holy Spirit in that still small voice said, Mark, I just wanted to show you that I could do one better, 1 million better.
Oh, love that. Love it. Love it. Yeah, anybody who reads the book will hear your heart, that there's purpose behind all of your prayers, kingdom purpose. So I hope you definitely know that. Well, your third point was think long. And this is so important, because this is where we lose it. And I love that you talked about our friends from International Justice Mission. So give that example, because it's a perfect example, these long billable hours, when it comes to getting a miraculous result.
Yeah, they are just an incredible organization. Counted a privilege to know Gary Haugen, the founder of IJM. And, man, they are just bringing justice to people in the world that have no voice and often do it in a legal way. And so Gary had just told a story about how they rescue children out of sex trafficking. They, you know, many different causes that they're a part of. But Gary was giving a speech, and he just used this example of how a song that he quoted, where one of the lyrics is the Book of Love is long and boring, and not in a negative sense, but in the sense that love is long suffering, and sometimes it's not the exciting moments that you prove your love. It's by just, you know, that long and boring process. And so he tells the story of how lawyers would spend many, many hours just laboring to try to bring freedom, but the end result was people being set free. And so, listen, before miracles happen, there's usually something long and boring that happens before that miracle happens. And I think sometimes that's prayer. You know, I'm not going to dress it up in a tuxedo and tell you that prayer is always easy or quick. I mean, sometimes it feels long and boring, but if you hang in there and if you think long, then I believe that God at the end of the day is going to surprise you with some of his answers, and his answers are always going to exceed your prayers.
Mm, amen. I got one more question before I have you pray and wrap up the show. When I read about your father-in-law, actually my hubby was reading that morning, I just cried. I was so inspired by that story, by his life. I'd love for you to talk about how his influence impacted your prayer life.
Now you're going to make me cry.
Sorry.
Susie, that, I mean, here's the crazy thing. You know, I write this book, 65,000 words, maybe 224 pages. And if someone said, what's the most significant page in the book to you? It's a dedication. Because I had a father-in-law. In fact, my mother-in-law said that she would often have to put reinforcement in the knees of his suit pants because he just wore them out. Pastored a church for more than 30 years in the Chicago area, and I've never known anybody that prayed like he did. And it really inspired me to write this book. And oh, can I share one last little piece? I think it would be so appropriate.
Sure.
Because, you know, in keeping with the father-in-law that prayed, and I had a grandfather. And part of the reason why I share this, because he was a professor at the University of Minnesota for 29 years and was at Northwest University back in the 1 year that Billy Graham was the president. And actually the first municipal judge of Fridley, Minnesota. And so it's kind of a local example. His name was Elmer Johnson. And he was my grandfather. He died when I was 6 years old, but his prayers did not die. He was hard of hearing, and he would pray for his family. He used to get down by his bed at night, and he'd take his hearing aid off, and he couldn't hear himself pray, but everybody else in the house could. And it's a powerful thing when you hear someone interceding for you. And Susie, there have been moments in my life, even as recently as a few years ago, where the Holy Spirit has said, Mark, the things that are happening in your life right now, the blessings, the miracles, your grandfather's prayers are being answered in your life right now. Powerful moments.
Powerful.
Powerful moments. And so, listen, you may not have a legacy of prayer in your family like I have. And if you do, thank God for it. If you don't, then start the legacy. Listen, you can be the one that begins that legacy in your family of prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. We're running out of time here, so I'm going to pray since I have my eye on the digital clock. I'm going to pray for you, Mark, and for all of our listeners. Father, I want to thank you that you're an ever-present help in times of trouble, that you make yourself available to us. I pray that you would expand Mark's territory, raise up his faith, and give him new eyes to see what you want to do in his midst, and do the same for us, Lord. Help us to err on the side of faith, not on the side of unbelief. We thank you that your word is true and that you are good, and you will make a way where there is no way. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Mark, such an honor to have you, and we wish God's best to you in everything you do.
Well, amen to that prayer, and thank you so much. God bless, Susie.
God bless you. Title of the book is The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Your Greatest Fears. Check it out. It's a great, great book. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Give us a couple minutes. It'll be up on the website, and then share it with your friends. I'm telling you what, this will get their motor going. You can share it by Facebook, Twitter, or email. Thank you again for joining me for the weekend edition of Live the Promise. Next Saturday, I'll be talking with Angie Smith. She's an author. She's a wife of Salo's Todd Smith, and she's a woman of faith speaker. It's going to be a great show. I always love having Angie on the show. And I hope you'll tune in on Monday for Live the Promise at our regular time, 3 to 4 o'clock, on the same Faith Radio station. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Keep praying. Keep standing. Keep believing. God bless you.